This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and it's my privilege to welcome you today. I do hope that you will stay tuned to our program. The title that Pastor Phipps has chosen to present today is God's Heart. He's going to explore and explain and maybe point out some things about the heart of God that you may not have considered before. So I invite you to stay tuned to this very interesting message. The message will begin after we hear some special music. This song is entitled Marvelous in Our Eyes by Wintley Phipps.
A man of sorrows, God's rejected stone, despised by the builders, left to stand alone. Still you kept on loving, all our sins you called your own. Laying your foundation to become a cornerstone.
Is mine, no longer rejected. My message this morning is one of those messages that there is not enough information to even capture a glimpse of what I'm going to be talking about today. And so I'm going to solicit your prayers that God will be mighty. Yes. I've come to speak to you this morning about a mystery. I'm totally convinced that nothing in this universe is as large or as mysterious as our Creator's heart.
All right.
The heart of God is a mystery. Throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, we, the redeemed, will be trying to understand those mysteries that run deep in the heart of our Creator. From the eternal ages, God has carried in that majestic heart of His an irrepressible desire to love, to give, to share. The desire to share was in no way the cause of sin, but it did give sin an occasion to enter. You see, God did not have to share with anyone. The bounties of His eternal kingdom. But it is the nature of love to share. And so to fulfill and express this unquenchable desire of God to share, God through Christ began creating beings, new life forms with whom He could share His wealth, His bliss, His abundance. The Bible tells us that by Him were all things created, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. One of the new life forms God created to share His glory was a being He called angel. The angel. God created angels by the millions to be living temples where He, God Himself, could take up residence in their hearts. These new beings called angels were beautiful and glorious beyond words. But one day in the Council of Peace, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit deliberated concerning the consequences of creating one angelic being who would become the supreme example of angelic beauty and power. They selected a name for Him. Lucifer, son of the morning. And as they met together, the Father, who knows the end from the beginning, read from the transcript of the future, unfolded the scroll, and related to the Godhead what would be the tragic consequences of creating this mighty angel called Lucifer. If we create him as a free moral agent, said the Father, we place our entire empire at risk. if we create him beautiful and free, billions of people are going to suffer and die. If we create him as a majestic being with the power to choose, the power to dissent, if we create him with the right and power to rebel, millenniums of human suffering will follow. If we create him in our likeness, he may want to take our place. Should he choose to lift his hand against us, untold pain and suffering will be visited upon our kingdom. If we create him beautiful and free, he will place in jeopardy the integrity and peace of our kingdom. We must consider this decision carefully. If we create him beautiful and free, he will break our hearts. He will place in jeopardy our kingdom. Before we fashion this angel, who will more closely resemble us than the others, who will be more blessed and endowed than the others, we must weigh carefully the security of our universe. If we back away now, we will spare ourselves the heartache of a pandemic called sin. If we choose to create him, we can create him a display angel, a robotic angel, one who does not possess the privilege of independent thinking. Should we do that, he would worship us out of fear and not love. His praise would be involuntary and not born of choice. Yes, he would sing our praises only because he had to, not because he chose to. If we create him, said Jesus, and my Jesus is awesome.
Yes, he is.
He stepped up, said, if we create him, I will mentor him.
All right.
I will be to him a friend and guide. Should he falter or fail, I will stand as the guarantor. And so one day God, through Christ, out of a majestic heart that I don't understand, filled with a longing to share the blessings of his kingdom with this angel, brought into being the Son of the Morning. What a pivotal decision. What kind of God, who knows everything, who knew everything Lucifer would do, what kind of Savior would do this, would create him anyway? Christ said, I will assume the risk, the liability, the responsibility to be his special companion, to teach him, to lead him in the paths of righteousness and holiness. And when God got through with Lucifer, what a stunning being he was. Handsome, lovely, perfect, good. He was made, the servant of God says, as close to God's likeness as possible without being God. He was rich in beauty and talent. He was rich in privilege. He was given high honor and station. His principal duty was to lead the angelic chorus in praises to an all-wise God who reigns in dominion and majesty. His primary responsibility was to go throughout the universe promoting the glory and goodness of God. Wouldn't you like a job like that? Brothers and sisters, God, out of the mysteries of a loving heart And because of his longing to share a part of himself with this created being called Lucifer, took a calculated risk. He chose not to place him beyond the possibility of evil. He left him with the power, should he choose, to use it, to deceive, to pervert, to tear down, to destroy. And out of a heart of love, God made Lucifer a high exalted angel, next in honor only to his son Michael. He blessed Lucifer with perfect form. Servant of God says he had a powerful intellect. He gave to Lucifer, I love this, you got to read the spirit of prophecy, gave to Lucifer a special light that shone in his face. That light, as it shone around him, made Lucifer appear brighter and more beautiful than all the other angels. He had a light in his face. His name, Son of the Morning, was also called the Covering Cherub, the most exalted of the heavenly created beings. He was blessed with the glory of God's majesty and power. He stood nearest the throne of God more than anybody else. And he was most connected and identified with the administration of God. It was like he was God's CPA or something. He knew what God had in wealth and power. He stood in the very presence of God, and the bright beams of glory always rested upon him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the privilege of standing closest to the throne of God more than anyone else, and all you experience was the glory of God shining on you? He was placed where he could be closest to. And he was mentored by Jesus himself. And as chief of all the angels, he was the paragon of angels. He delighted to teach the rest of the angels God's law and purposes. And because of his proximity to the throne, Lucifer knew that there was no limit to God's power. Lucifer knew what he was dealing with God's power. For a while, he found, the servant of God says, no greater joy than serving his creator. But of Lucifer, it was written, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. The light. The light God gave him. It was pride in what God had given to him that turned his heart against God. More than any other sin, brothers and sisters, pride is the most difficult to detect and dislodge from the soul. Come on now. For more than any other sin, pride is rooted in selfishness. And to purge the life of pride, you've got to emancipate your soul from selfishness. And that's very difficult to do, to put others first. The Bible says that there are seven things that God hates, the first of which is a proud look and a haughty spirit. There's nothing more pathetic than to see sinners who have been the beneficiaries of God's compassion showing scorn and disdain for other sinners who are floundering, searching for their master. There is nothing more pathetic than those who mock and ridicule those who stumble and fall. Little by little, Lucifer began to nurture feelings of resentment for the one who created him, the one who made him. He began to hold in contempt the very one who was mentoring him. God the Father knew this, so one day the King of the universe called all the heavenly hosts together to affirm in their presence who Jesus was. When all the angels had gathered, can you imagine seeing the host of all of heaven's angels? Can you imagine, first of all, to have that much power to speak a word and every angel show up? Every one of them came. And God stood up before those angels and said, he is my son. He is equal to myself. Whatever I am, he is. Wherever he is, it is as though I am there. Whatever he says, I've said it. Whatever he does, I've done it. And when all the angels bowed to acknowledge his supremacy and authority, Satan bowed his heart. But he was not sincere. He left the immediate presence of God, began his agitation in the name of liberty. Look at him, said Lucifer, sitting up there, high and lifted up. He doesn't know what it means to sacrifice anything. Look at us. We have to sacrifice our dignity. We got to get down and bow before it. We are forced to obey all his laws. Angels need no law. We should be left to our own wills. It'll guide us, right? A real problem for Satan was why Christ should be honored above himself. He said to the angels, God has not been giving to me the honor my position deserves. And so Satan began his work of rebellion with angels under his command. He did things so skillfully that many of the angels were won to his side. As a matter of fact, he had an advantage over God. He was able to use arguments and tactics that God would not stoop to use. He was willing and able to use deception and subterfuge and innuendo. God can only speak truth. Lucifer, the archangel of the Lord, grew more bitter and resentful. And so with his lips foaming with words of defiance, he declared war on the law and on the author of the law. He declared war on the heart of God. He declared war against the supreme monarch of the universe, and he directed his battery of lies against the one who created him. Amen. Has anybody ever done that to you? Well, you blessed them. You prayed for them. You walked with them. You carried them. You helped them out. Loaned them money. The peace of God's kingdom was shattered. Listen to what I came across. All the heavenly hosts were summoned to appear before the Father. This was the second time. In other words, God called the angels together, told them who Jesus was. But Satan went on doing his thing. God says, wait a minute. I got to bring this thing to a head. Called them all back together. And the servants of God said the heavenly hosts were summoned to appear before the Father to have each case determined. Every angel's case was going to be cited that day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mighty, mighty God. This was the judgment of the angels. Satan unblushingly, she said, made known his dissatisfaction. Oh, my God. He stood up proudly and urged that he should be equal with God and should be taken into conference with the Father. Something tells me the fact that he had to demand it ought to let him know that he didn't deserve it. God informed Satan that to his son alone he would reveal his secret purposes. He required all the family in heaven, even Satan, to yield to Jesus unquestioned obedience. See, it was all about Jesus. And had he proved himself unworthy, he would be cast out. And listen to this. The knowledge which Satan, as well as the angels who fell with him, had of the character of God, of his goodness, his mercy, his wisdom, and excellent glory, made their guilt unpardonable. They knew too much about God's character to be pardoned for what they were doing. Christ had worked in the heavenly courts. Christ, the mentor, had tried to convince Satan of his wrong. Finally, God said to Jesus, you must now put down this rebellion. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. Huh?
That's right.
And they were cast out. Brothers and sisters, I admit to you, I don't understand a heart like God's heart. I wrestled with this this week. I wrestled with this. God, what kind of heart do you have that you would allow someone you created this kind of leeway?
Mercy.
The only answer I could come up with, that God was willing to allow sin and suffering to teach us something important about his heart. He wants you to learn something of his heart. You see, the righteous heart of God, all of us will be measured by it. The law of God shines forth from the heart of God. That's why when you break the law, you break his heart. Satan wanted to be the center of influence in the universe. But God's heart, I asked God, I said, God, your heart is so big that it will allow all of this treachery. I ran across a writer who said that our Lord is willing to suffer that we might know what our hearts are like.
Mercy.
But he suffers also that we might know what the heart of God is like. God allowed sin so that we could learn a little bit about what his heart is like.
This brings us to the end of our message for today and to the end of our program for today. I hope that you enjoyed the message and that you understood it. I'd like to thank Pastor Phipps for that message. And if you would like to obtain a copy of this message by cassette tape, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 181. That's program number 181 in our series, and that will get you the title, God's Heart. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, you're very welcome to do so. All are welcome. The address is 8900 Goodluck Road, and that's in Lanham, Maryland. If you would like directions to the church, again, you may call 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. Well, that concludes our program for today. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'd like to wish you, as I usually do, God's richest blessings for the week. But please join us again for another program. Until you can, remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart. Feel